Hi, friends. Welcome to Gather and Growth, a show for the leaders, thinkers, doers, and dreamers from rural communities and beyond. I'm your host, Emily Rushell. On this podcast, we defy expectations, bust through limiting beliefs, and ask the big questions to better understand this beautiful world and the people in it. This is your space to heal, grow, evolve, get curious, and build empathy bridges to truly transform from the inside out. Grab yourself an iced coffee and let's dive in. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Gather and Growth. Today, I am very excited to share with you someone who has become like one of my business besties. That's like the most lame thing to say. But someone that I'm talking to basically all day, every day about things business related. And Lindsay, I don't know if I've told you this, but I first heard about you and started following you on when you were on the Rural Revival podcast. Like
that was a minute ago.
Long time ago. I know. First of all, if anyone is a small town entrepreneur, like go follow that podcast because it was the thing that made me think that I could do something big in a small town. It's very, very cool. So anyway, that is how long I've known Lindsay, which was definitely when I was still working full time a minute ago. But through a series of events over the past year or so, we realized that we low-key have the same brain. So much so that she started working with me, joined my mastermind. There were some things that came up in her business where she ended up having to transfer to one-on-one coaching. And then coincidentally, we signed up for the same mastermind with Susie, not even realizing that we were both going to be there. And so the rest is history. Here we are. So Lindsay, welcome to Gather and Growth.
Well, if that isn't a story of alignment of how our paths have crossed and lined up, and then we're at this place where we share a brain.
Basically the same person. So like, I don't always make a list of things I want to talk about for podcast interviews because it's like, we're just going to see where this goes. It'd be super organic. But if I know anything about Lindsay and I, like we could end up on the moon in this conversation because we both have raging ADHD. So.
Yeah, you guys don't actually want to know what our Marco Polos are like.
This is going to be like a small sampling. Okay, Lindsay, for someone just getting to know you for the first time and they're like, bring us up to speed. Who is this chick? What is she doing in the world? And how did she end up on this podcast? Will you give us some information?
All right. So I'm Lindsay Trotter. I own Chilled Freezer Meals. We are a meal prep company based in Iowa. I started this business totally out of the blue. I was a former teacher, like so many entrepreneurs I know, because you're like, this is not for me anymore. And now I know that the working world at all is not for me anymore. So I took a hard left. I ended up staying at home with my kids for about a year and a half. And as an Enneagram 3, also someone with ADHD, I realized that the monotony of taking care of children every single day and not having a goal to work toward was not for me. So I was like, what can I do differently? The meal prep idea kind of fell into my lap. My daughter had a bunch of food sensitivities, so I was already making all of these meals. And my friends started asking me to make them. And pretty soon it was like, this is a business. Okay. And let's go hard and fast and maybe crush your soul in the process, but build a really thriving company.
Hard lessons learned the hard way. Okay. Give us a little context because I think we are for sure going to get into like where Lindsay is now compared to the first couple of years in business. But what did that look like when you were in full like hustle and grind it out mode?
Yeah. So I had always been the person. And did you hear that? I said had. I didn't say have. I have always been the person. I had always been the person who thought that if we just work a little harder, do a little more, spend some more time on that, then we will get better results. So growing up, that was always my end goal. I told my mom when I was in third grade that I was going to get straight A's for the rest of school, and I did that. And then I was valedictorian, check the box. And then I went to college, got a really great scholarship to a private school, and didn't know what I wanted to do. So I went in with an undecided major. My mom was in education, and that just seemed like an easy choice. So I decided I was going to go into education. But at the same time, I had met my now husband, and he lived about 4 hours away. So I was like, transferring schools, we're going to like uproot this whole thing and do something different. But in that same process, I got my teaching degree, also got my master's, needed to have all of the accolades at the time.
Check, check, check.
And then it just continued from there. So you buy the house, you have the babies, you advance in your career, and then you decide you're going to start a business and you make sure that you grow the team and you buy a building and you renovate a kitchen and you start shipping all over the nation. And then once you've done all of that, you stop and look around and say, now that I've done all of these things, what do I do now?
Now what?
And really, when I was at the height of my hustle, I was working probably 70 to 80 hours a week. I was going to work at 5 a.m., working until about 7:30. I'd come home, get my kids ready for school. I'd send them off. I'd go back to work. I'd be there until I picked them up, and I'd take my computer home, and then I'd sit in my living room and continue to work until I had to feed them and bathe them and put them to bed. And really great things for my business came out of that, but not really great things for Lindsay.
Tell us more about what you mean.
I didn't know it at the time. And if anybody had asked me at the time, I would have been like,
I'm thriving.
I have a gold star on my chest. Do you not see that?
I am so successful.
Look at this money in my bank account. Look at these properties I'm buying. But there just wasn't a lot of fulfillment that came from all of that. And I didn't feel like I was doing well in any of the other areas of my life. So with my family, with my husband, with my friendships, they were all just kind of along for the ride. And I had a lot of work to do in being able to understand the feelings I knew were there, but didn't really recognize as being negative.
I'm like smiling so hard on the inside because I'm making Lindsay feel her feelings, and she has come so far. I think in January when we started a coaching relationship, I was like, so how does that make you feel? And you were like, it doesn't. I don't.
Yeah. For the record, I've only really been trying to feel my feelings for like 4 months. So this is very new to me and very foreign still. So if you are one like me out there listening to this podcast and thinking, well, I can't do that. Yeah, you can, because I am just at the tip of the iceberg. And I can tell you that so many beneficial things have come out of doing this hard work.
So what were some of the first signs of like, this isn't right? Like, I don't feel the way that I want to feel, and something's gotta give. Like, looking back on it now and maybe in the moment.
So for me, I've always been a person that I need really tangible things, tangible milestones, markers, things to tell me like, this is good and this is not. And I think the same thing has kind of translated to the inner work that I have done. And where it started was I signed up for Menstrual Mystics with Jada Dobesh.
Shout out.
And during that, it was like, all right, I'm going to learn about the phases of my cycle, which I can track on a calendar and in an app. And I vividly remember one call that we had. It was when she was still doing group calls for Menstrual Mystics. And I was talking about how it was so annoying that my periods were heavy, and like, what supplement can I take? How could I get my hormones tested or do these things to just make the blood not be so much? And she said to me, Lindsay, none of that is going to change until you start dealing with your emotions. And I was like, you're funny. Okay, see you later.
Okay, but really, what's the supplement?
Yeah, tell me, is it progesterone? I could do that. Like, that's fine. So after that, I feel like that really just planted the seed for me. After that, I think I was still trying to find the tangible thing. But that was in the back of my mind, like, this is something that I need to change and adjust. And then we went to the mastermind with Susie Holman, our retreat in April. And when I was there, I met Sarah, who also has just played a huge role in getting me to a place of better inner knowing. And she told her story which I very much connected with. And on the last day, we were leaving the retreat, everybody was getting in their cars, and I just went up to her and I said, I need to work with you. It was something I like stood there and thought about for 10 minutes, and I was like, go and do it, because if you don't do it, now you won't do it. And I did, and she's like, all right, I'll send you all the details and we'll get started. But I think that a big part of like these little red flags that were coming up for me, like my cycle, and I had a little bit of weight gain that I didn't really understand because I've never dealt with that in my life. I was tired all the time. Even though I had switched things around in my business, brought team members in, done things differently, so I wasn't working those crazy hours, but I was still just always tired. And it all comes back around to, it didn't matter how much sleep I got or how many supplements I took or the food I was eating or if I was working out. I was not going to get past that unless I started to deal with some of the emotional things that I had going on.
Mm. Sucks, doesn't it?
It's real bullshit, actually.
I love that you bring up all of these different things, though, because when I think about my own story and my journey, you know, Enneagram 3, late diagnosed ADHD, like my entry.
I didn't even talk about that part.
Oh, I mean, we can go down that rabbit hole too. But my entry into this work was like goals and habits and how can I be better and what can I do and how can I optimize and like reach for the dreams. And I very much still think that anyone listening to this podcast has the capacity to do anything that is on their heart and mind. But the deeper I get into this journey, right? It was like, okay, the hormone testing and the therapy and the this and the that. And it's like, so many different layers. And that's what's so cool about this work and the community that listens to this podcast is that we're open and that we're receiving and going deeper together. Is it's like, it's actually not just one thing. It's not a supplement. It's not a miracle coach. It's not a this, that, and the other. It is like this continuous reiteration and peeling back that ultimately brings us home to ourselves and feeling our feelings and experiencing and understanding our bodies and what we do need and how we're going to, like, that is the stuff. Yeah. As Susie would say, the juice.
It absolutely is. And for a really long time, I mean, I've always been one that's like, if my kids are feeling an emotion, I will let them feel that emotion. Like, I've read those things in parenting books and, you know, learned about it here and there. And it's like, yeah, if you're crying, like, let's talk about it. Let's figure out what's making you sad and if we can adjust anything. And, but I've never done that for myself. It's always been like, stop crying, suck it up and get back to work. And that's not it, friends. That's not the solution.
Well, and bringing it back to what you said in the beginning, like if you just work harder, you will get better results. And that is true for a while. But it all catches up. And whether you're an entrepreneur or in agriculture, like that is why it gets so hard and why our mental health crashes. Because we like can't outrun the stuff that's inside any longer.
Yeah. And I've always been one, and I still slightly believe this, that when you are starting a business from nothing, there is going to be a level of you're going to put in a lot of hours and you're going to have to hustle and work hard. That has a time and a place, but you have to realize that that lifestyle has an expiration date. You cannot do that forever, because what will happen is you will start resenting and hating the thing that you were loving in the first place, and then you just want to burn it down, which burning it down is also a part of owning a business.
Yes. Okay. Do you want to talk about that? Because I would love to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure. Whatever. I feel like I need a disclaimer on this, that if anybody knows me personally and is listening to this, please don't talk to me about any of this in public. Like, I don't want to have the conversation. Remember, I'm only 4 months into feeling my feelings. And if you approach me about it, I'm not here for it.
I will cry and walk away.
Yes. So now that that's out of the way, sure. Ask whatever you want.
No, I mean that burn it down. Like, do you want to talk about what that looked like this year of being like, I am so misaligned within myself and in my business that I actually don't want to do this anymore? Because that is for sure a version of something that came out of your mouth more than once this year.
Oh, yeah. Through a lot of tears too. I mean, yeah, let's go down that rabbit hole. Sure. It's like Emily wants to rip my toenails off today, but it's fine.
Okay, but I do think this does factor into the ADHD conversation, because I think it's important as entrepreneurs with ADHD that we talk about this, because for a long time, even within my business, I felt a lot of pressure to be consistent and like build something that works and double down on that and niche down and do the thing. And yes, there is a time and a place and value for that. But I have had to learn over the years that I actually work really well in sprints. And so I will do something for as long as it sounds fun and exciting and whatnot. But like, I have to be willing to also balance that with pivoting and growing and moving through my business. Now, I think I have a little bit more leeway in what that looks like in what I do compared to a product-based business, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that we can remove that factor of the dopamine as entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So when I started Chilled, we worked in a coffee shop kitchen. And I knew that that was going to be very short-lived. And so the next thing I was working toward was having my own kitchen. And then I got that kitchen and it was wonderful and great. And I knew the next thing I was working toward was owning my own building and building out my own space. And once I got there, vividly remember making a reel where I laid out in the rain. This was a trending reel at the time. And the caption was something like, an Enneagram 3 who has accomplished all of her goals and doesn't know what to do next. And at the time, I didn't know that I had ADHD. And now looking at the mindset I had then, that completely played a role in the decisions that I was making. Because for so long, I was like, I'm just accomplishing my goals and moving on to the next thing because that's how it works. No, no. Actually, Lindsay, you were bored with the things that you were doing and you needed something new.
A carrot.
Yes. So fast forward. One of the great things about Chilled is that we release a new menu every month. And prior to me putting in a lot of systems and processes in place, that's kind of where I got my dopamine, was I was making new menus. Mm-hmm. But then I put a system in place where that was already set. So like, I know what's coming for the next few months. So there, that was no longer a thing. And it was like Groundhog Day almost. I did the exact same things in business every single month. And it just was not enjoyable for me to go to work every day. And so this is really where I sought out, I need coaching. I need a mastermind. I need somebody that's going to show me what's next. Because through business, I have found that being in community unlocks new ideas.
That is the quote for this episode. Being in community unlocks new ideas. Yes.
Little did I know that joining the Susie Holman Mastermind was going to unlock some ideas I was not ready for. So I have known for a long time that I wanted to write a course, and I know the content of the course. I knew what it was going to look like. And I went to the retreat and we're giving our little business pitches and I'm standing up there and Susie's asking me questions and I almost immediately start crying. And the joke is that when you go to these retreats, at least one person's going to want to burn their business down. And so far, nobody had wanted to. And I did not know that I might be the person who's saying that. So I'm standing there talking about the business. And I think I've really focused on profit margin when I was talking about that and like crying about it. But really, the inner thoughts that I was having was about like, there's nothing new and exciting here anymore. I've done the thing and now what's next? And I don't know what the next is. And so that was really hard. So kind of made the decision, well, I'm going to do the coaching and the course. My business can run alongside this and it'll be fine. And then fast forward to a call that we had probably a month later, when I told everybody that I was going to sell Chilled. And that was probably one of the hardest things that I had ever like verbally said out loud. Because to me, it really felt like I was admitting failure, giving up this thing. I think a lot of people would think that selling a business isn't failure, which it's not. if you sell your business and you make bank on something that you built yourself, like you have succeeded. Mm-hmm. But I think a little bit inside me, it was like, this was your baby and now you're giving it away. So I sat with that for a while. I remember telling Jen and Molly, who helped me with my marketing, about it. And they were just like, we don't know what to do with this right now, because we don't know how to help you. We don't know what moving forward looks like for you. And kind of a big piece to this was conversations with my husband about what comes after this. And I think this is sometimes where people get really in the muck about leaving a corporate job and going into business and what that looks like. Because so many people have the thought that if you're not working 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, are you even working? Are you adding value? And it doesn't matter how much money you're bringing in. It's like, well, shouldn't you be working all of those hours? Because that's what society says. And so through this whole process of being like, well, I guess I'm going to sell Chilled and I'm going to go hard on courses and I'm going to do coaching, my creative spark for Chilled came back. And that is such an interesting thing to happen. And I don't even know how to explain why or how. But I have had so many new ideas and new things. I think it was almost like the pressure that I had placed on myself at the beginning of the year for what I needed to get done and how we needed to grow was lifted in me making the decision that I was going to sell it. And so then it was like, well, if the pressure's gone, then why don't I just like do all these fun random things that I want to do and play?
Yeah. Which like sounds so silly because you could have done that all along, like you were the boss.
Totally.
But like we break out of these boxes and then create new ones.
Yep.
And I think that there's also something we said, like in admitting that you wanted to sell it, it was like fully surrendering to the fact of like, this is not for me anymore. And like in admitting that, you had detangled so much of your worth from the outcome.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It was like once you met the depths of yourself in that experience, and then it was like, okay, then all of a sudden the ideas like had the opportunity to flourish. I mean, that is truly like, think about nature on the other side of a wildfire comes new life.
Yes. That is a very good metaphor for what happened to me with Chilled, because I mean, we are about to add sourdough to our lineup. We are relaunching our new mama bundle. We launched our power pack line in March, but I just continued to create new for that, which wasn't the plan. I'm going after new ideas around marketing and connecting with new people. And it just feels so renewed. And the really great thing about being able to do that is the course is not like off the table. I'm still working on that. For those who are interested in writing a course, just know it's going to take you about 12 times longer than what you initially expected. But I would say from everything that I have learned and worked on in the last few months, the one thing is things are going to happen when they're supposed to happen. And it is okay if I'm not putting a hard and fast deadline on when this project is going to be complete.
Well, and I also don't think it's accidental that all this new energy is coming on the other side of you being the most really, truly healthy version of yourself you've probably ever been.
Yeah.
Like not just like physically, like in what I'm eating or what supplements I'm taking, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally, like feeling the feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I felt a lot of feelings around deciding that I was going to sell my business. And I also feel like I just have a lot more patience for myself. And it's truly the reason why I can be at peace with not having my course done tomorrow. Because I'm pretty sure when I posted it on the Instagram account I made for it, I said August, and here we are mid-September. And I'm okay with that. Like it is, like I said, it will get done when it needs to get done. And the reason that I can live with that and not decide to hustle at 5 a.m. every morning is because of the work that I've done. I've always said that therapy is like the worst thing, and I hate therapy, and I don't ever want to do it. And it's not enjoyable, you guys. But so much good comes out of it.
Especially for, I think, women that I know who have just been hustling. And whatever that looks like, whether it is their career, whether it is job, whether it's being the best mom ever, like so many of us have been running for so long and doing all of the things, checking all of the boxes. And that's a conversation that's been happening a lot here on the podcast recently. But it's like, it's in these moments where we realize, like, I can't do this anymore. Something has got to be different, that we start, like, that's the moment that the next chapter of our life begins.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there are things that go beyond just feeling your emotions. I think that you need to start there. You need to start with having patience for yourself and thinking kind thoughts and untangling all of the messy that has happened to you in the past and that you have put yourself through and you've experienced and all of that. But then after you are working towards that, there's other things that you can start doing that are just going to make the benefits of that work grow exponentially.
Like sitting outside first thing in the morning.
Yes.
Like downloading an app that tells you the degree of the sun.
Exactly. Yep. I'm not an expert in this, but I have learned that you're supposed to get sunlight in your eyeballs before the sun is 30 degrees in the sky. And for me, it used to be when I went to work at 5 a.m., the light that was in my eyeballs was from my computer.
Shocking.
And then the light I had in my eyeballs in the evening, when you should be watching the sunset so your circadian rhythms can reset, it used to be my phone. And so I made the choice. This is not that long ago, maybe a month ago. Hard and fast rule. I put my phone on the charger at 7 o'clock and I don't look at it. I mean, if somebody sends me a text message or calls me, like actually calls me, then I will pick up my phone, but I'm not looking at social media. I'm not checking emails. I am cut off.
Mm. And how does that make you feel?
It's actually really nice because, you know, we joke about bed rotting, right? We really like bed rotting, especially if you have ADHD. And then you're in like a certain point
dopamine,
of your cycle.
Dopamine.
It's like, I mean, I did a little bit of it this morning. I didn't go to work until 9:30 because I was bed rotting. But you never feel good on the other end of that. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered from this, and it should be of no surprise to anyone, but when I put my phone down at 7, the first few days was like, okay, but now what do I do for the next 2 hours? And then I do things like I read books and I go for walks with my kids, or I just stand at the counter and I have a conversation with them about their day. And I think those are the things that I was missing but didn't know I was missing.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Lindsay, tell us more about the course and what's in store, because it is in the works. Now that you have a post-it checklist on your wall, and it is coming. And I told you this in Utah, the course that you are creating is going to serve someone in this community really, really well, because it is all about, well, I'll let you get more into it, but specifically, like, how do we build a business around the skills that we already have, which I know for so is going to be literally life-changing for so many women. So tell us more.
Yeah. So when I started Chilled, I always like to make sure people know I do not have a culinary background. I am not a chef. I didn't go to school for this. I just made dinner for my family and watched a lot of Food Network. And so I started making food that people like to eat. And this course just teaches you all about the logistics of starting a meal prep business. So one thing that I discovered is that there are so many families in rural areas who want easy meals, but you can't just order pizza. There's no pizza delivery. There's no DoorDash. You need something that's just in your freezer. And so this course is teaching people how to build those in their communities. And it's so straightforward. I know, like, Emily, you talk a lot about how I'm never going to give you like the 10-step checklist of these are the things that you need to do to be successful. this is going to be the 10-step checklist.
Yes, this is the course to go take.
So if you work with Emily to figure out what your passion is and what you really enjoy and you like, and it just happens to be around food, and then you need the checklist, I'm going to have that for you.
What do you know now that you wish you would have known the first year you were in business?
You know, I think that this is a question that maybe gets asked a lot of entrepreneurs of like, what would you change or what would you do differently? And I don't think I would say that I would do anything differently because, like I said earlier, hustle is a part of building your business. So I wouldn't have done that differently, but I would have liked to have known that that didn't need to last forever. Because I think there was a lot of times when I was in the trenches where I thought, I've made my bed and now I have to lie on it. Like this is what life will be. And that's just not the truth.
Yeah. I was having this same conversation with someone in a mastermind the other day because she is really, truly in a season of hustle that is required in just the type of business that she's opening and getting everything off the ground. I'm like, that is okay. Like alignment doesn't always mean it's going to be easy and restful. Like I sure hope that you get to a point in your business that you get to create that for yourself. But if someone's telling you that your business should be easy and flowing and come naturally all the time, like no. But it has to be a season with an end date and there has to be a plan for how you're going to get out of that. Like if you are building a side hustle while working full-time and you're putting in double the hours while also trying to mom, you can do that, but you cannot do that forever.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of the things that feel really hard in the beginning, I just had this conversation with another very new business owner. I said, we were talking about her health department license, like her food license. And she was getting really like worried about that. And I said, okay, well, do you have your EIN number? Do you have your LLC set up? Do you have these things? And she's like, oh no, those things are like really scary. I don't know how to start in any of those. And all of those things feel like these big rocks that are going to take you forever to move. But once they're done, you look at them and you're like, oh, that took me 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, and I think so much of that is every piece of those steps or those rocks that we move is part of growing the confidence. And that's why it feels so hard is because you are in real time creating a new identity. This came up at the event I was at last weekend because I'm on stage and I'm leading this workshop. I like have this bigger, larger than life personality. And so many people were complimenting, oh my gosh, your energy. And I just want to blah, 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 whatever. And I'm like, I need you to know that not that long ago, I was, and I still am, a very regular person. Like I curated this confidence to be good at this thing that I wanted to do. But 7 years ago, I was an elementary school teacher. And I'm not saying that there was anything wrong with that. Like I can envision a reality where I could still be an elementary school teacher and my life would be beautiful. But part of when you are building the early stages of your business, part of the reason it feels shaky and scared and hard is because you are recreating this confidence in yourself to do something you've never done before. It's no different than when you start a corporate job or whatever kind of job and you're on the job learning for the first 6 months. Unfortunately or fortunately, at that point, you have a boss telling you what your onboarding checklist looks like.
Yeah. And those things are the things that make the beginning season. That's why hustle is required then. And that's why you are going to be exhausted and you're going to feel mentally tapped out. And then once those things are done, that's when you should be transitioning into a business where you feel like your days are quote unquote easy and you have flow. And I mean, you should be excited every single day that you get to go to work, but everybody should. But really, that's truly when you can like feel like you maybe crossed a finish line.
Yeah. Until your ADHD kicks in and then you get bored and then you need to figure out something else to do with your life. Bring it full circle.
Then you want to change careers again, sell your business, burn it down, and yeah.
Okay, but I would love to touch on this for a hot second. I don't want to keep you too long today. But how has the realization of, wait, I think I have ADHD, changed the way that you show up for yourself into your business?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I don't know if I should admit this, but I'm like 97% sure that I was like TikTok diagnosed with ADHD. Because I came across this ad that was, I can't remember exactly how it was phrased, but it was something like, were you the good girl in school who got straight A's and then felt like life fell apart after you had kids? That's a very bad paraphrasing of what the ad was. But all of it checked the boxes. And then I went down this rabbit hole of all of these weird little quirky things that people would say, like, do you have a favorite spoon? Then you might have ADHD. I'm like, what? When I was growing up, I had a favorite fork. It was little and it had stars on the handle. And if somebody else was using it, I was really mad.
Yep. Little spoons for life.
Yeah. No, we're not using a big spoon over here. You will wash it. If they are gone and they're all dirty in the dishwasher, you will get one out and you will wash it.
Yes. This is why we have 12 table settings, even though 5 people live in our house.
And so all of those little things started to come up and I was like, oh my God, I think this is me. And the messaging around be consistent, show up every day, live the exact same morning routine. I was like, wait a minute. If I have ADHD, then that's not for me. I can't function like that, which then translated into so many other things. Like, okay, I have ADHD and my human design as a generator means that I need to be doing what my body is telling me feels right in the moment. And if I try to do anything else, I'm just going to hit roadblock after roadblock.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So those two things connected. The fact that I am an entrepreneur now made so much sense. And side note, this is actually my third business that I've had. The other two were just really small side hustles that I would have never called businesses. But now it just makes so much sense why, like, I wanted to change careers every 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the really great thing about becoming more self-aware that this is how my brain works is that I don't beat myself up over the days where I can't be productive. And this also, I mean, my cycle plays a part of this too. It's like when you start learning about the phases of your cycle and where you're at, like, no wonder you can't get anything done when you're in late luteal phase and you have ADHD. Your brain just is not going to produce in the same way as when you are ovulating. And that's also really helped me with knowing how and when to have conversations, hard conversations with people, with my team, with my family, contractors I work with. It's like, if I know that I'm off, I need to ask to move the conversation because I'm not going to say the right things. I'm not going to be able to communicate my message so then they understand me. And then it's just going to make a bigger mess.
Mm-hmm. Well, and having that self-compassion for productivity and output, because I know I have been like, before I even had awareness of any of this, I would get caught in the shame spiral of like, why can't I think? Why can't I produce this? Why can't I write the email? Why can't I, like, I should be able to be on all day, every day. I'm high energy. I'm an Enneagram 3. Like, what's wrong with me? Oh, well, actually, I'm about to start my period and I probably actually go take a nap.
Yes. And it's also helped me articulate to people why I can't do things at a certain time. Like, this happened a couple weeks ago. I was at work with my team and, you know, they're busy in the kitchen and I'm usually doing behind the scenes work. And it's like, my life's falling apart today, guys. I'm going home. And what's also really great too is I offer that flexibility to my team. Mm-hmm. So the rule at Chilled is like, the work just needs to get done. I don't care when it gets done. And so if at 1 p.m. you're mostly wrapped up on one thing and you just don't feel like starting another, but you'd rather do that tomorrow and come in early, like, go for it. I don't care. We don't need to be tied to clocks. Sometimes I wish I had the hormone cycle of a man. Be a lot easier for planning purposes. But and also, it's really fun when you have ADHD and another friend has ADHD. And so then you can just identify with all of the things that are happening, aka your shoe situation today.
Oh my God. Yes. I literally looked out and was, okay, for context, I just put this on my stories. But this morning I was looking for, I have two exact of the same pair of red sandals from Target, and I couldn't find them earlier because they matched the shirt that I was going to wear to town. And I was like, whatever, I don't care. I'll put on the yellow ones. I come downstairs, immediately kick off the yellow ones, and they don't fly as far as I think that they should. And I look down, and there are three pairs of the exact same sandals underneath my desk. I was like, that's it. That is it. Check, check, check.
Check. Yes. I mean, that is like so fun about having this. I mean, having ADHD is not always fun, but I also think that there's like, I don't know what the right word is, but sharing all of this journey with people on social media and talking about this has led to some really great connections. And I hope that in talking about some of these things, people are like, oh, that sounds like me. Like when I saw the Little Spoon TikTok, I hope other people are like seeing the same thing and are inspired to dig a little deeper in themselves, learn more about, become curious about, and then maybe they find out that they have XYZ and then they can take some pressure off themselves.
Well, I think that's how you were attracted to working with me in the first place, is I had been sharing about all of this ADHD realization. You were like, wait a second, I think that that might be me. And so I think that just goes to show the more authentically you're sharing your story and what you are experiencing, like you will attract your people.
Oh, yeah.
And one year ago, I don't think either of us thought we'd be sitting here today like this, but
no.
It's cool. It's cool what happens when you say yes and when you take the leap and you do weird, scary things.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool what happens.
It is pretty amazing. And I feel so grateful for the circle that I have around me now that I didn't before. And honestly, even the circle I have around me that I didn't before starting a business. I have truly found my best friends through my business. And I think that living in a small town, growing up in a small town, you maybe don't always have the opportunity to interact with new ways of thinking. And business did that for me. It exposed me to new people who were thinking and doing things like me. And they have become my biggest supporters and biggest cheerleaders. And I hope that I can be the same for them.
You are times a million. Okay, Lindsay, I am confident that we could talk for 3 hours. And I'm sure that if you track our total talk time over the past 2 days, it is equivalent. But in the favor of wrapping this up and letting people move on with their day, tell us more about where we can get connected to you. And specifically, if someone's interest is piqued by your course, where can they like give you their information so that they are first to know when it is ready on the timeline, when it makes sense for you?
So right now you can follow along with my daily shenanigans at Chilled Freezer Meals on Instagram. However, I also have another Instagram that's specific for the course. So if you're interested in that and you want to sign up for the email list to be able to get the details when it's ready, which hopefully will be soon, you can visit me at Lindsay, LINDSY.Trotter on Instagram. I'm sure Emily's going to put those in the show notes. And you can click the link there and get on the email list. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. I feel like you've already answered this question a lot, but the last thing I ask every guest on the show is, what does growth look like for you in this season?
It's probably about feeling my emotions, continuing on that path. But I think really just being open to new ways of thinking, new ideas, new habits, and not putting so much pressure on it, just letting it come and go as it will.
Lindsay, thank you so much for being here today. I adore you and I'm so grateful for you. And I know that this episode is really going to inspire someone and maybe inspire someone to go all in on their dreams and start a business that really serves them and their family. And maybe someone listening who is already in that boat to slow down and pay attention to what their body, mind, and spirit really needs so that their business can feel more fulfilling and more joyful and more fun than ever before. So if that is you, please screenshot this, share it to your stories, tag both of us. Lindsay's like 700 accounts she started. Just kidding. There's only two. Send it to the friends in your business circles. because this is really information I would love every entrepreneur to know.
Yeah, I want people to realize that you can feel like it's the end of the road, but then all of a sudden things turn around and you are going to love it again.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it is the end of the road and there's something more that's meant for you.
Also that.
Okay, friends, thank you so much for tuning in. We sincerely appreciate you. Till next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Have I told you today how much I appreciate you? I'd like to imagine this was a meaningful backyard patio kind of chat between friends sipping LaCroix at sunset. If you enjoyed today's show, please take a screenshot to share or forward this episode to a friend. You can also find me at Emily Rushell over on social to continue the conversation. It's truly a joy to hear what tidbits and takeaways made an impact on your day. As always, all links and resources mentioned in today's episode can be found in the show notes listed below or over at emilyrushell.com. Special thanks to my podcast manager, Jill Carr, for the time and love she puts into producing Gathering Growth for this community. What a blessing it is to be on this personal growth journey together. Forever grateful for you.